Welcome back to Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Gladton of Texas Longhorns on SI, an Ole Miss proud alum today on a Thursday before Ole Miss plays in the semifinals tonight. And of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text lines open 512-222-9328. And of course, over there on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, and on YouTube. Appreciate you hanging out with us here on a Thursday. Matt, 90 minutes to go, Matt. 90 minutes till kickoff. Now, I'm sure it may be later than that. They might do the whole spread out. You know, coverage starts at 6, game at, you know, 7:15, but 6:30 kick is what they say when, you know, when they have those late starts. So I don't know if it'll be right at 6:30. I don't know if we're exactly 90 minutes away, but we're close enough that you got to be feeling a little anxious tonight.
Patrick. I've been anxious since probably I woke up the day after the Sugar Bowl. When I woke up this morning, I couldn't even think about the football game. Like, I had to immediately jump into my work because I didn't want to think about it. Now I have to think about it. It's going to be a good one, man. It's a scary game for Ole Miss. I think it's equally as scary of a game for Miami for different reasons, but it's going to be a heck of a matchup. You know, we'll get into the game, but there's something about that Miami defensive line that is about as terrifying as you can imagine.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. It's going to be there. And CB, did I say Williamson? It's going to be hard for me to not say Zion Williamson. It's going
to
be
okay.
Hard.
So if you Google Zion Williams to try and find out information about him, it tries to correct you into Zion Williamson.
So it's going to be difficult for me, someone who's covered basketball and done that and talked way too much about Zion Williamson and him not playing. Zion Williams, if I misspoke, I apologize. Zion Williams is the defensive lineman from LSU who is committed to Texas earlier today. And yeah, hear the dog. We need all the blood pressure medication we need. I got a long way to go in our season for Texas basketball too, so we need all the help we can get as we go into it. But appreciate everybody hanging out with us here as we do get closer to it. But Matt, that's a big game tonight, man. That is a big game. We are getting down to where we should have gotten rid of all the riffraff in the college football playoffs. Everyone in the college football playoffs has now won a game in the college football playoffs. We have nobody else who is their regular season is just speaking with you. Appreciate you, CP. I know you knew what I meant, but, I'm like, that one, every time I say it, I'm like, please don't say Williamson. Don't say Williamson. But for Miami, Ole Miss tonight, Miami's a 3-point favorite in this game, which is somewhat surprising for a team that almost missed the playoffs. That if you would have stated this game as a first-round matchup, I would assume Ole Miss would be favored in it. In a first round matchup between these two teams. But what we have seen in the ensuing couple of weeks, Miami has looked really, really good. And while Ole Miss has looked good as well, Miami's looked really, really good. And at some of those key positions, Matt, as you go into this, what's the play out of how this needs to go for Ole Miss to win? And what does Miami need to do to be able to stop Ole Miss and get going the way they want it to?
Well, I hate to be that cliche guy, but whoever is the more physical team and the team that wins in the trenches is probably going to win this football game. And that's scary because Miami has the best offensive line left in the playoff, I think by a wide margin, definitely the best pair of tackles in the playoff by a wide margin. They certainly have the two best edge rushers left in the playoff. Reuben Bain is probably going to be a top five NFL draft pick. The other guy on the other side of him is really, really damn good. They got a lot of beef in the middle on both sides too. And it's, you know, so whoever can control the line of scrimmage and control the football, I think is going to win this game. The advantage that Ole Miss has, I think, is at the skill positions at wide receiver. Obviously both running backs are really good, but Kwon Lacy's, I think, on another level right now than Mark Walton. So, you know, we'll see how it goes there. The biggest advantage that Ole Miss has in this game, though, is at quarterback. Trinidad Chambliss is like if you put a really good, good character, smart person into Johnny Manziel's body. Like he's unbelievable. Some of the plays that he makes, like in that Georgia game just alone, are some of the best plays that you will ever see in football, and he did them three plays in a row. So he has to play his best game. Kawan Lacy has to hold on to the football, stay healthy, and play his game. And I know that there's a lot of there's a lot of talk about these assistants that aren't going to be there for Ole Miss. I don't think that's going to have any effect on the game. Charlie Weiss is there. The running back is there. Pete Golding's there. Joe Judge is there. They have everybody except a grad assistant, a couple of offensive assistants, and their tight end coach. So I don't think that's going to be as big of a deal as everybody thinks it's going to be. But if there's one player on each side of the ball that I think outside of Trinidad Chambliss and Kawan Lacy has to have a big game, I would go with probably on the defensive side. You talk about Centarian Perkins, the edge rusher, who's one of the best in the country, a little bit undersized, but incredibly athletic, really good at getting after the passer. And then both of the Ole Miss tight ends, I think, are going to play major roles. Really different skill sets for each guy, but both guys bring a lot to the table. Luke Haas missed a lot of the year this year with an injury, but was able to come back and, you know, obviously ball control and whoever turns the ball over and those kinds of things are going to be at a major premium. But if Ole Miss is going to win this football game, the other tight end is going to have a big one. Daquan Wright, 6'5"? Yeah, 6'4", 255 pounds. He looks bigger than that. When he lines up, he looks like an offensive lineman, but he's averaging almost 16 yards per catch. Love that guy. I think he's going to have a big game tonight. I really do. But Miami's got probably the best defense left in the playoff. They've got an experienced quarterback. They've got probably the best freshman wide receiver in the country. They've got a really good running back. I talked about the interior or I talked about the trenches already. There's just going to be talent all over the field. So I could probably keep going for another 45 minutes, but I'm starting to get antsy, Patrick.
I mean, I think that's it. It's really this, like, there's so much of it where the matchup in itself could go either way in a lot of it. And I agree with you that it is very much of who shows up, who's ready to play in that moment and make those big plays. And it feels to people who've watched these two quarterbacks over last season and Carson Beck over the last two seasons that you keep waiting for Carson Beck to turn in to somebody else. But I think that the key is you have to stop Fletcher. You have to be able to slow down Miami and get a lead. If you get a lead, you put the game in Carson Beck's hands, and that's where you feel you can get the advantage. If you're not able to move down the field and score, and if Ole Miss is basically stuck where it's a field goal game, they can continue to run the football, just play grounded out, not put Carson Beck in situations where he has the ability to really make a major mistake. And that's going to turn it around. So for Ole Miss, you have to find a way to have some big plays against this. Use their pass rush against you. Make the right read. Find a guy when they're sending everybody and coming after you. Now, if it's pass rush, it's harder to do. If it's a blitz, it's easier to do. Find that opening. Get your guy downfield and make a big explosive play. Get a touchdown and open it up. Just get a touchdown lead to make Mario Cristobal be a little bit more scared and try and put the ball in Carson Beck's hands. And if Carson Beck can get it going enough in that world, then, you know, so be it. If Carson Beck plays better than Trinidad Chambliss, there's not going to be a wide margin of error for Ole Miss in this game. But yeah. I don't feel most people believe that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, if Carson Beck plays a better game than Trinidad Chambliss, Ole Miss has no shot. I'll put it that way. Trinidad Chambliss has to be the best player in this game, and he definitely has to be the best quarterback in this game by a wide margin. He's the heart and soul of this football team, just like Johnny Manziel was the heart and soul of that Aggie team. Everything starts and stops with him. Does that, you know, scream national title? Probably not, but you got enough good pieces around you that it still works. But he's got to be the best player on the field for the remainder of their season if they're going to win a championship. Hair of the dog, I don't want to get too far ahead of it either. In the event that Ole Miss does win, I don't think there would be anything more satisfying to me in this world than Ole Miss beating Indiana for a national championship. But I'm not going to jinx. I don't care who they play, honestly, out of the two. I just want them to get there.
No, he's going to care tomorrow. He's going to care tomorrow.
I'll care tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. Ole Miss wins tonight. Let's
table tomorrow, that conversation for open bar Friday.
Yeah, we'll give him a couple drinks. He's going to show up drunk tomorrow if Ole Miss wins this game.
I might.
For the open bar, open gym Fridays that we do here. And I don't know if Miami spies Chambliss. It doesn't feel like they have to. It doesn't feel like they have to. Now, if they have to, they probably have a game plan ready for it. Again, you have enough time to prepare for these games that you're ready for. If Chambliss starts to kill us, this is how we can spy him. But if you're Miami and how well that defense has been playing, you want to go full force ahead. Use everything at your ability to make Chambliss have to be a quarterback and trust your defensive line that they're not going to leave those big openings for him to get out of. And you think we can get enough pressure on him that we don't really need a spy as much as we just need to be able to wrap him up. That's not the case. They'll put a spy on him, but I wouldn't think they would have to early, at least.
No, he's not really looking to run all the time. Like it's not a, I know I said he's a better character, better person, smarter Johnny Manziel, but he doesn't play that way necessarily in terms of he's just going to pull it down and run the football if nothing's there. He's really good at biding his time and waiting for his receivers to get open, keeping his eyes downfield, all those different things. They have a few design runs for him here and there, but it's not like a, you know, Vince Young, Lamar Jackson type thing where you got to have your eyes on him at all times and a spy on him at all times, or he's just going to kill you. They like to get the ball out quick. They like to move quick. They get the ball snapped very quickly. It's all about tempo with them offensively. So I don't think they want to tire out Trinidad either by running him too much. It's going to be interesting to see, man. I Miami's really disciplined and physical in their pass rush and their containment of the pocket. So if they're able to continue to do that tonight, then I don't think you necessarily have to spy them. And if you spy him, honestly, Ole Miss has so many weapons on the outside at receiver and tight end and at running back that that's probably going to end up hurting you in the long run more than it's going to help you.
No, I mean, I'll look at it as, you know, if you put a spy on a game in a game like this for Miami and their defense, you're playing 10 on 10. If you don't, you're playing 11 on 10. And it just gives you such an advantage to not have to put a spy on a quarterback. Because you can either put that guy in a pass rush or you can put that guy in pass coverage. And it's just so much harder when you're playing 11 on 10 for the quarterback. But when they put a spy on, you're like, cool, we're playing 10 on 10. I can find somebody now. Like, those work a lot better on guys who don't pass the ball as well as Chambliss does. QB spies are much better on guys that you're like, no, we want you to throw the football. With Chambliss, they're fine with him. You know, they're fine throwing him into coverage, but they don't necessarily want him. I don't think they care if he runs for 8 yards a few times in the game.
Yeah, you spy Marcel Reed. You don't spy Arch Manning or Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah, because they can kill you with their arms. And Joe, we're not. This guy's not falling. We're okay. We're just a little tense. This guy's not falling. We're okay. And Jack, we all hate Jason Witten now. All not fans of Jason Witten anymore. After he took the job over there at Oklahoma. So. Trying to be the tight ends coach over there at Oklahoma. Him and Mark Andrews, best friends, hanging out.
Yeah. All my homies hate Jason Witten.
All right, Matt, that leads us to our picks. Right now, I am up one after last week. I believe the Steelers game, the Steelers Ravens game, got me the lead last week. So now I'm up one. This will be our first only pick today. We'll make more picks starting tomorrow. But we got to make this one before we get there. Miami is favored by 3, Matt. Miami is favored by 3 at the VRBO Fiesta Bowl. Glendale, Arizona.
Yeah.
Matt, taking Miami here, of course.
Well, Patrick, trying not to cuss on this show anymore because I've done it a couple times over the last few days, and I know it's Texas Sports Unfiltered, but you know.
Look, we try.
My nephews might be listening to this show.
We try and do a show for everybody. Sometimes, maybe I talk about Texas basketball and something slips out, but try and be for everybody.
Yeah, my nephews might be listening. My mom's probably listening. I know my sister's listening. My dad's listening. My dad probably doesn't care if I cuss as much, but F no, I am not picking Miami. I picked Ole Miss in every single game that we have done a pick for them this year. I'm going to continue to do it until they lose. I think Ole Miss wins. I think Ole Miss covers. Obviously, if they're 3-point underdogs, I think that this is a kind of the lower scoring game than people think it's going to be because of the high powered Ole Miss offense. I think they've improved dramatically defensively since Pete Golding has taken over. I think that they're more disciplined. They'd make less mistakes, less penalties, all the things. So my sister just texted me, F Miami. You can cuss if you want to.
I love it.
So I think the score of this game is probably going to be something like 28-24 Ole Miss. It's going to be another nail biter, in my opinion. Actually, let's say 27-23 Ole Miss. Let's go 27-23. Ole Miss wins and covers and advances to the national championship. And I do everything in my power not to go broke buying a ticket for the national championship.
27-23 Ole Miss. Yeah, I like that. The over-under is 52.5, by the way. So we do know at 52.5, that means 27-23 is right about on that number, right about the over-under as well. Look, Matt, I can't go against Ole Miss in this game, and I definitely can't pick Carson Beck in an important game. I know that Carson Beck is not necessarily the most important person in this game, because I think Carson Beck could throw for 112 yards in this game, and they win this game by 7 points. He could be he just didn't screw it up quarterback, and if they can run the football game, they'll just run the football, and they'll win one that's a little bit more low scoring because their defense is able to get it done. So I'm fully aware of that. But I'm picking Trinidad Chambliss. I'm picking the funniest story to me, which is making LSU pay a bunch of money to Lane Kiffin because they really thought his team wasn't going to win without him because they thought they got the steal of the century as a coach. Lane Kiffin just really solidifying the fact that when he was going to be, the redemption story was just right there, and he couldn't do it. He just couldn't be a decent human being long enough and went ahead and ran to LSU. So I'm on board Ole Miss. I'll go Ole Miss 24, Miami 20.
Okay. I like it.
I want to go 24-21 and Bert Auburn has to come in and misses a field goal, but I want to do that.
What if the score is 23-21?
And he misses Ole Miss
gives the ball back to Miami after a field goal. For some reason, Bert Auburn comes in to kick the final field goal
He missed a bunch of field goals already. So I mean, we know Miami. Maybe they're trying out Bert Auburn a little bit more there, and we'll get him. So scholarship Bert may get in trouble over there in Miami if he misses that. He'll be like, I don't know where I'm going anymore.
Not going to Texas State. Go to Texas.
Does he have any eligibility left? Feel like he can't.
I don't know. Probably not.
We're both taking Ole Miss plus 3 right there in the picks. As we got it. We got to support our man, Matt, and the Ole Miss Rebels tonight. And I'm rooting for you. Guys. Rooting for you tonight as they take on this game. Yeah, Chan, Bert Auburn is the luck charm. This is his third straight semifinal for the college football playoff.
As long as he doesn't play, he's the luck charm.
I mean, hey, he didn't play in it last year.
Listen, it wouldn't
one. He's played in one. He's been at three. He's played in one.
It wouldn't be the college football, it wouldn't be open gym if we didn't have a scholarship Bert shade moment. Okay.
He's been in three. He's played in one because he got benched last year and he didn't get the starting job this year in Miami. So scholarship Bert. Oof. But yes, scholarship Bert there. Matt, there's some college football. Do we get any more recruits? Do we get anybody, any more transfers, Matt, in the last 20 minutes? I don't think we did.
Not yet.
I don't think we did. So let's talk
This is what's going to be really annoying for me in this football game tonight, because I'm trying to sit there and watch Ole Miss in the biggest game that I've ever watched Ole Miss in my life. I'm going to have to pay attention to the fucking transfer portal.
Yeah, you're going to have to. It is. It's going to happen that you have to look at the transfer portal, and then you're going to get. The best part is someone's going to post something that's going to annoy the crap out of you because it's just false information. You're going to need the blood pressure medicine tonight. It's going to get up there.
I'm going to need lots of bourbon is what I'm going to need.
That is true.
God bless my girlfriend. She's going to have to deal with so much shit tonight. And I hope she's ready for it. I don't think she knows what she's in for because she's not really a football person.
Okay, so you don't have anybody else. You're not going to the bar to watch it. You're just watching at the house.
No, I was gonna go to a buddy's house, but I have to sequester myself. Like I'm too.
I know that feeling.
I'm too nervous to go somewhere else. I need to be in the comfort of my own home.
Yeah, a bar is weird too, because a bar there's gonna be people there like, oh, you guys suck, and you're like, I can't. Like, there's no argument to be had for you guys suck. There's nothing I'm gonna tell you that's gonna. Get you to go. No, you are. You're right. You know what? Good point. Hair of the dog. He don't drink Jack Daniels like us plebeians down here. He only drinks, you know, the really good
stuff. If Ole Miss wins tonight, I am going to crack open my most expensive bottle of bourbon. I can promise you that.
There you go. Yeah, I'll see if I'll crack open my. Well, actually, I've already cracked open my 3-liter bottle of whiskey. We opened it the other night, so.
You need to bring that in so I can see what that actually looks like.
It's just a bottle of Jack. It's just bigger.
I know, but I want to see how big.
It's very large. It's very, very large. I unfortunately don't have the handle anymore. The handle is gone, so I don't. I've drank too much booze already, so it happens. It goes away quickly. You bring it over to someone else's house, and then we all drink it, and then it all goes away. Not myself. I drink it with friends. I'm a social guy, you know, try and drink with some other people. All right. Matt, let's get into a little NFL talk. We may need to hit the power rankings if we have a little bit of time, but I do want to hit before the power rankings, for our final power rankings. We haven't done them since week 16, so we may do that, but I don't know if I'll have time for it. But I do want to bring up, yesterday we got the shocking news that John Harbaugh was let go by the Baltimore Ravens, that this felt like. It's somewhat surprising because anytime a coach that has been tenured that long and they were still in the playoff hunt, they weren't just bad. And, you know, they were in the Super Bowl hunt a year ago. But this was one where you kind of saw the writing on the wall a little bit when they had the slow start and things just not going quite the way they wanted them to. We know that even though Georgia has been having a good season, a bunch of people are going to be calling for Bobo's head and wanting Todd Monken back. Because he is the offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, who will most likely not be kept by whoever they bring in. But then today, Matt, we saw that Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins have parted ways. And now Mike McDaniel is the number one offensive coordinator target in the NFL. Hands down, without a question. Just like John Harbaugh is the number one sought head coach right now. So the what they're saying in Miami, and you can take that with a grain of salt because Miami has been proven in court to lie about these things before. So Miami is saying they fired Mike McDaniel without having any conversations with John Harbaugh, that they're not related things. But they decided that they did not want to keep the status quo in Miami. They wanted to move forward and try and bring in a new generation, a new world for it. What you can say about the Mike McDaniel era is that the offensive players played amazing football in that time span, that he made his offensive players better when they were on his team. He may have not been able to ever figure out the defensive side of the ball. They also got gutted defensively last year for him. A lot of that ended up. And for Texas fans, the thing that's the worst for us is this is a bad thing for Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers was in a good position where he proved to the coaches that he belonged there, playing in a system with Mike McDaniel that was perfect for what he does. And that is now all out the window. We do not know who they are going to bring in as the coach, as the offensive coordinator, but we do know Mike McDaniel is now out in Miami, Matt.
And the Lions have already contacted him about the offensive coordinator position, which, you know, that would be scary if he could get his hands on Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jahmyr Gibbs and all those dudes. But, yeah, I mean, I was kind of surprised because they kind of made it seem like he was going to return next year. I find it very hard to believe that the firing of John Harbaugh had nothing to do with this. And I'm sure multiple teams are going to contact John Harbaugh because I think there's 8 openings right now or something in the NFL. We'll see. I really do feel bad for Quinn because there is only a couple of systems in the NFL that he is tailor-made for, and his coach and play caller just got fired from one of them. The other one's in San Francisco, and I don't think he's going to unseat Brock Purdy anytime soon. Maybe there's another one out there, but those were probably the two that I would say. And now, you know, McDaniel's gone. Here's what I would like to see happen, though, Patrick.
Yes.
Outside of Mike McDaniel being hired as the Texans offensive coordinator next season, which seems to be impossible at this moment because they're in the playoffs and they can't make a change right now. How about the Texas Longhorns hire him as an analyst or a, you know, something kind of like do with other NFL coaches that get fired or other coaches around the country that get fired. And he comes in just to help out the offense.
I think that would be wonderful for Texas offense. I think there's about
0% chance.
0.00001% chance of that coming to
less
reality.
Than that.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to coach in the college game. He has never really shown any interest to being in college. He's worked his way up in the NFL. And again, if you said, do you want to be an analyst for the Longhorns or be the offensive coordinator of the Lions, you'd probably go with the Lions.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I mean,
I'm just saying, hey, in my dream world, that's probably what I would do.
I'm all on board with it. If anything short of the Texans winning the Super Bowl, Mike McDaniel should go heavy after him to be the OC next year. I don't think they will. I think they will not look at anybody and then just be like, oh, we're keeping it for another year. We thought we did better at the end. And then they're going to give CJ Stroud a bunch of money and everyone's going to get mad because he's not improving because they keep giving him bad OCs that don't know how to, you know, make quarterbacks better. Just my opinion on what's going to happen, but we will see if they can go out and go get him. But I was excited to see that there's a possibility. And then, of course, we saw that the Lions were the first to contact him. I was like, damn it, Lions, no, you guys can't do that. I assume Tampa Bay is going to call him too. Tampa Bay just let go of their offensive coordinator, which, Matt, I don't know if there is a more like pass fail offensive coordinator position than Baker Mayfield's offensive coordinator. It is a pass fail. You either get a head coaching job or you get fired. That is what you get to be if you are Baker Mayfield's offensive coordinator.
Listen, I don't particularly feel bad for Baker Mayfield very often, for multiple reasons. But he's gotta be going crazy. Every single year it's a new play caller. He's gotta learn a new system.
Happened in Cleveland too.
Yeah. And a little bit like I sometimes think a little bit of like, how much more of this can he really take and continue to be a good quarterback?
I mean, I think that's one of his like superpowers now, is being able to adjust to a new system over and over and over again. Because, I mean, even if you look in college, he went from Texas Tech to Oklahoma. Like, he changed in college.
Yeah.
And then goes pro. And then in Cleveland, it was just year after year and it changed. And then he goes and deals with the cluster F that was the Carolina Panthers, and was a scout team safety for the Carolina Panthers, because that's how much they mismanaged that one. And Baker Mayfield gets to go off, and then, you know, he works with Sean McVay for a little bit, and he's like, okay, I'm revitalized. He puts two guys as head coaches, and Dave Canales and Liam Cohen. Those were both his OCs. And then they just fire his OC now. And it is, you're like, man, that guy is just every year. Do you think he just, at the end of the season, they're like, do you want your playbook? And he's like, I won't need it.
Yeah, just now throw it in the trash. I know you're bringing somebody else in.
I don't need it. I'll get somebody else. But yeah, definitely interesting there. We did see Jerry Jones say a quote that is now being around. This is the Jerry. I feel like this is the Jerry Jones offseason quote, that he is not all in this offseason, that he didn't go that. Cause he even said a little bit, like, we may not be that crazy in free agency. He's like, if we find the right thing, but he definitely did not say all in at his season ending press conference to Jerry Jones. But he did say, man, that Micah Parsons trade, without that, we'd be so screwed. Oh man, we'd be screwed. We could probably have to like let go half our roster and we'd have no picks. Like, they would have even taken our picks if we just kept them. So he just kept saying everything they can do this offseason is because they made the Micah Parsons trade, which is not really true, because gave up Quinnen Williams. You gave up picks for Quinnen Williams. What do we got?
I've talked about this guy a little bit.
Okay.
All ACC linebacker Cade Uolave is on campus at Texas for his visit, according to On Texas Football's CJ Vogel.
Okay. All right. So we got another linebacker there. Linebacker waiting out.
A really good linebacker.
Okay. I don't like
Will
that.
Will Muschamp is going to have to pull out all the stops and do his thing. And Will Muschamp's a beast. So I feel pretty good about this one. Let's hope they can bring it home.
Yeah. I mean, and hey, man, get everybody on campus now, because I think the cold front hits like tomorrow, Saturday. And I don't know if we want them to see. You know, you don't want it to shut down. You know, 50, you don't want 40 degree Austin. You want to show them nice 70 degree Austin.
Yeah, he's been playing in Cali for forever. You gotta say, hey, you know, this is what it's like all year.
Yeah, no, that'd be a really big pickup. Glad to see he's on campus. Linebacker is one of those pieces, especially depending on what Bo Barnes decides to do. We know he says he's in the portal. We have heard that is not the be-all, end-all that it was a few years ago in Sark's mind. We saw with Derek Williams that he has come back. So Sark has softened his stance on, if you hit the portal, you're dead to me. I mean, it's not saying you're dead to me, but Sark basically said, if you hit the portal, it's done. There's no coming back. That has apparently softened a little bit this season with the return of Derek Williams, who went in the portal and came back to Texas. So I think they know. So with Bo Barnes, who knows? Can't speculate either way, but we do know that there's conversation still happening. He's still in contact with Texas football. So that's the positive there, but you need to get as many linebackers as you can, because, you know, and a week away, then, you know, we're at the back end of that portal, and, you know, you may be calling people, just be like, hey, do you want to, we got 75 scholarship guys. You want to come in? We just need somebody to come in here. Yeah, good to see him on campus. Happy to see that. But back to what we were saying, if I can remember where I was at.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that's
no, we're good.
Stuff right there.
I know, but I was talking about Jerry Jones, so I'm just pulling a Jerry Jones mold to not remember what I was talking about. But
oh yeah, his not spending money in free agency deal.
Jerry Jones, he says he's not going to do that. But then the quote that now everybody is running with is that Jerry Jones said he wants to be the owner with the most championship rings, most Super Bowl rings of any owner when he dies. He has to double and then add one. So he has to add four more to get there. Robert Kraft has six. He would need to win four more to get there. He's at three. He's not starting at zero in saying this. I'll give him that. Now, granted, that was when he first bought the team and had Jimmy Johnson, and that's the reason why they were able to do everything. But Jerry Jones said, my goal has always been, and that's my goal. I care more about getting more Super Bowl. That's what my legacy is. I'm going to be the owner with the most Super Bowl rings, is what he is saying. That's what he wants to say. And then just for note, let me check my notes. Robert Kraft's team in the playoffs won their division.
Mm-hmm.
Figured it out. Bill Belichick, they saw that they had to cut the dead weight there at the end. Things were not going the way they wanted post Tom Brady. They bring in Jared Mayo, who's kind of the coach in waiting. A lot of guys really liked. Saw quickly that that probably wasn't the way to go. Saw Mike Vrabel available. And Mike Vrabel comes in and immediately turns it around. And so Jerry Jones is in his own little universe where he's pretending. So that is the saying now. If you don't think I'm doing everything to try and win the Super Bowl because I want to have seven Super Bowl wins, you see, if you don't think I'm doing that, that's the new all in. So it's not all in this season. It's the quest for seven.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jerry, but that's never going to happen.
No, of course.
He's probably not going to be around for the next Cowboys Super Bowl because that Super Bowl is never going to come. Because Stephen Jones is just as bad as Jerry Jones. They're never going to win another Super Bowl as long as the Jones family is in control of that organization. Ever.
No, I'm aware, Matt. I just think that I'm just letting everybody know that is the new message for. Because we know the reality is they haven't even said they're signing George Pickens yet. They're keeping him. They haven't done. They did mention that they screwed up not keeping Jordan Lewis. They did mention that they were like, we really should have kept Jordan Lewis, which all of us could have told you again. You should have kept Jordan Lewis.
I would say so. Yeah. I do have some Cowboys news that it just broke.
Okay. What you got?
The Cowboys have requested permission to speak with Minnesota defensive passing game coordinator, Durante Jones, Denver assistant head coach and passing game coordinator, Jim Leonard, and Browns safeties coach, Ephraim Banda, for their defensive coordinator vacancy, according to Todd Archer.
All right.
Sure.
I know that Dan Campbell is interviewing the tight ends coach from the Cowboys. So we have got that. We've got some of those guys in there. But Matt, the question I want to ask you is because, you know, I just brought up Matt Vrabel there. And I wanted to look at which team in the NFL now, when we saw the Patriots go from really bad, hiring Mike Vrabel and turning it around, there's nine teams now that have coach openings in the NFL. Which team has the best chance to bring in a good coach? You could still go with a Mike McDaniel if you really wanted to. There's some rumors that the Ravens might even look at Mike McDaniel as their next head coach. They look at it and go, we're trying to find a way to make Lamar Jackson as great as Lamar Jackson can be. We're all in on Lamar Jackson. We got to make him great. Now, that works. Lamar Jackson has the capabilities to be a game changer offensively, but you got to put everything around him. You still have to have a defense that works. You still have a lot of pieces that work for anybody. Because we see it with Josh Allen. Josh Allen's amazing. They haven't won a Super Bowl yet. You got to have all the pieces.
Who are the nine teams? I've got the Ravens, the Dolphins, the Titans, the Giants, the Cardinals, the Falcons. Who else is there?
You got to go again.
Say it again. Ravens, Dolphins, Titans, Giants, Cardinals, Falcons. Who else?
Browns.
Well, they're
Giants.
Not.
Did you say the Giants?
I did.
Raiders.
They're not going to be it either.
I feel like, how many is that now?
That's eight.
It's eight. Maybe we're at eight.
It's eight. It's eight or nine. Regardless, I think that there's two teams that you can look at and say they have a real chance to hire a good head coach and be good very quickly. And I think it's the Ravens and the Dolphins.
So there's no one coming up that was bad, really bad last year. You don't see a Cardinals or a Titans or a Giants turnaround?
I think that the Giants are probably the closest team in that conversation to those other two, because they have Jaxon Dart, they have Malik Nabers, they have Cam Scataboo, they've got the two edge rushers, they've got some pretty good talent on that team.
Yes.
But I think clearly the answer is the Ravens.
Well, yeah. And I think the Ravens, as a team who's looking for a coach, they may not even be eligible for this, solely in the fact that they should have been a playoff team this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, money-wise, they had some issues. Derrick Henry is getting older, so you got to figure that one out. But yeah, they should have been a playoff team this year. But I would say it's the Giants. I think a 4-win Giants team could be a playoff team next season. I'm not saying they will be, but I think if they make the right hire as a head coach, which is if they go out and they're able to get like a John Harbaugh to kind of stabilize what they're doing, show them some of the things they're doing wrong, have the people he's able to bring in with him that are his guys, I think there's a chance you put them into the playoff picture in 1 year. I don't think they're like the Patriots in, you know, winning a division, but I think that division is still kind of screwy. We've heard the stuff of the unrest in Washington now with the Commanders, that the ownership's meddling too much again, that they didn't like his coaching hires, and they were the ones that said Cliff Kingsbury's got to go, even though Dan Quinn didn't want that they were meddling in decisions throughout the season. So it doesn't feel like that's necessarily going to turn itself around next year. We know the Cowboys are the Cowboys. You expect them to be able to find a way to get back into above 500, but I don't know much more than that. So you have winnable games against those two teams, and the Eagles are they firing all their assistants again and going out to find new? Are you keep Vic Fangio, but are you firing your offensive coordinator and going out to find a new guy? Are you going to go try and get Mike McDaniel, pay him a ton of money, and figure out how you can make this? I mean, if I'm the Eagles and I've got all the money.
I have purposely avoided putting that out into the universe. And you have just ruined it. If the Eagles hire Mike McDaniel, we're all done.
I don't want it either. I don't know if he wants to work with Jalen Hurts, though.
I think he can make Jalen Hurts work just fine.
I mean, when he's like, you get Saquon Barkley there, but you're like, I get Jahmyr Gibbs and I can build my next quarterback, and we'll just trade our 7th round pick for Quinn Ewers and he'll be the next quarterback here at the Lions. We'll be good to go.
Get Matthew Stafford back in Detroit. How about that?
Oh, don't do that to Matt. That's like, it's trauma for Matt Stafford. He's got to go back there. He's going to have PTSD while driving in. Just turn around. No, I mean, like, I do think they were really injured this year. They competed in a lot of games. Now, I don't know if Jaxon Dart is the guy of the future. I do know that if you can bring in the right coordinator and the right people to work with him, then you'll at least get a decent idea if that's the case or not after this season. But you're going to have to figure out what you want to put together to go get him, go get an offensive coordinator once you get Harbaugh. Does Harbaugh bring Todd Monken with him? Because that's an interesting name to put with Jaxon Dart. And I think that leads you, if you're Cam Scataboo and you're like, who, you know, and Jaxon Dart, you got to be pretty thrilled you're going to walk in for the offensive coordinator who just had Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson a couple years ago looking amazing. So I think that there's a way that they could jump up and be in that conversation, depending on what the Eagles end up doing with their offensive coordinator position. I hope they keep him. You know, they made the playoffs. They won the division. You can't fire anybody, right? You got to keep your guys. And I mean, yeah. Unless they get killed by in the first round, but
I actually really like that idea, Randy. Did you see Randy's idea in the chat? Pete Carroll, Texas, as an analyst. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah,
he's not going to be coaching anyone.
No,
his mentor is Steve Sarkisian. Yeah, or Steve Sarkisian is you know
what Steve I mean. No, he looks up to Steve's.
Steve Sarkisian or Pete Carroll is Steve Sarkisian's mentor.
Yeah, no, I could see this, and this is the pitch to Pete Carroll. You know, I'm telling you that Sark's talking a lot about Nick Saban, isn't he? Sark mentions Nick Saban's name a lot more than he mentions yours, doesn't he? Doesn't he? Yeah. Now, my guess is Pete Carroll is going to go into announcing at some source, and someone's going to pay him a huge amount of money to be an announcer. But if he doesn't want to, and he wants to come and work somewhere, I'm with you. I like that, Randy. That's a good idea. Give him an opportunity to come and work with some of these players, impart his wisdom, be a part of it. Now, you got to make sure he knows what his role is, but a lot of these times, these guys are fine knowing what their role is and being happy. And then you just see him running out in the field shirtless and...
Here's the thing about an analyst, too, is they don't even have to be in Austin.
It's true. Not all the time.
He can be wherever he wants to be, and they just, you know, conference him in and give him things to do, and he helps, you know, from afar. That's what a lot of the analysts end up doing anyway. So, I mean, you know, until he decides he wants to really get back into coaching, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Joe, the problem with Miami, and I know it's a nice city and all, the problem with Miami right now is they're still kind of in cap hell. And you got Tua, who you don't want, and you got Tyreek Hill, who you don't want.
Yeah.
Like, they're just kind of stuck in a purgatory of, we don't have the right pieces here, and the guys we got that we're paying a ton of money to, we don't really want anymore. So it still feels like they're a year or two away from being able to really, like, rebuild. And maybe that's why they fired McDaniel, because they're like, dude, you're too good for us to tank, and we really need a tank for two seasons, and then we can jump, bounce back, and hire somebody and be really, really good in a couple of years. It wouldn't at all be surprising for me if they were in the Arch Manning sweepstakes next year to try and rebuild what they're doing. Yeah. I mean, like, I just don't know. I don't know how you turn that program around when they had to get rid of all their defensive stars. Like, they're just getting rid of everybody on defense. And then they got rid of a bunch of guys. And then the Tua and Tyreek Hill contracts, you were meant to already win by now. The window is closed on those contracts being a good contract. So, unfortunately, and I don't think Carroll's going into coaching. I would guess he'd be an announcer or a analyst or doing that wherever on TV where someone would pay him a ton of money, because he's you know he can do the new Pac-12, be the voice of the new Pac-12. Pete Carroll going out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's the reason why the Miami job maybe wouldn't be my number one place to go for right now. Like, so much of what you're looking at is like quarterback and cap space, and they don't necessarily have either one right now.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I hope Quinn Ewers can find somewhere else to go.
The good news for them is, because McDaniel's gone, there's probably not a huge price to get him. Now, since the fact he played, it may be up, but you're probably still like a fourth or fifth round pick for him.
Cowboys.
Don't
enough with the Joe Milton experiment. Bring in Quinn Ewers. Let Dak Prescott flame out next year, and then make Quinn Ewers your starting quarterback, and then trade for Bijan Robinson and make him your starting running back, and then we're good to go.
Oh, and you can pick up Michael Taft too in the draft.
Yeah, pick up Michael Taft in the draft. Maybe Anthony Hill.
Anthony Hill and Demo.
Yeah,
around there,
yeah.
The linebacker punt.
Yeah, Manny Muhammad back there at corner as well. You know.
Yes. So that's really the question, is when you're looking at it, is quarterback and cap room, and that's like, it's where you're looking at all them. And yeah, the Jets by far worst. Jets, no chance. There's nothing. And I mean, they still have a coach. They still got Aaron Glenn. So they're just awful. All right, let's take our second break real quick, Matt. We come back, we'll wrap it up, hit our meat head. Matt's going to try and not start crying out of anxiety cries before this game. Matt, you're about 40 minutes away now.
Yeah. I'm more nervous right now than when I got my tonsil surgery done. And I am terrified of being put under by anesthesia and terrified of needles. So you can imagine how that makes me feel right now.
All right. Well, we'll see how Matt's feeling in a few minutes when we come back here in the break. We'll wrap it up with you guys. Anything else you throw in the chat, we'll get to here in 2.5 minutes. Wrap it up here on Open Gym on Tech Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, I'm Dan Covert with my wife, Hayden. Welcome to Covert BK.
Our newest location in the gorgeous Hill Country includes Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and hundreds of pre-owned and certified vehicles for you to choose from. We have 3 service departments that are ready to take care of your car, truck, or SUV, with 86 service bays to accommodate any repair and get you in and out quickly. Come visit us today to select the vehicle you've been dreaming about.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations, and we would like to take a moment to thank all of our clients for making the last 37 years both fun and fruitful. If you haven't yet, I'd like to invite you to give us a try for all your home electronics needs. There's no need to leave your home to find great pricing and incomparable service. No traffic, inexperienced sales geeks, or pushy showroom tactics. We come to you. So just relax, hug your kids, and smile. We handle all the work. Just give us a call at 255-8678 or online at avconsultations.com.
Hello to Jason and the gang over at Relax the Back. They embrace a holistic approach for a healthier lifestyle based on 35 years, folks, of proven expertise, and my back couldn't be happier. Their motto is live wellness, and folks, they can transform your routine, your daily routine, into something very, very special if you have back pain. If you're struggling with thoracic problems, if you've got hip problems, if you've got lumbar problems, please go over to one of their stores. They got two great locations, and find out a chair or a recliner or a sofa that's going to fit you and going to make your life a whole lot better. I've got this office chair right here that I've been sitting in for years, and I love it. Two locations, folks, at the Hill Country Gallery across from Whole Foods and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center across from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck and relax the back.
SendTextTickets.com. If you're in the market for tickets to any sporting event, any concert, any Broadway show, anything live coming to town, you got to head over to SendTextTickets.com. The best seats to all of the biggest events, not just here in Austin, but all over the state and all over the country as well. It's so easy to use. Just log on your phone or computer to sendtexttickets.com. All of their tickets are 100% guaranteed, and they will be delivered right to your phone or computer. So simple to use, and you're also helping to support a local business every time you shop sendtexttickets.com. So if you want to be at the biggest events in sports and entertainment, there's only one place to go. It's sendtexttickets.com.
Wrapping things up here on Open Gym, Matt, take some deep breaths.
Well, see, I got my girlfriend's dog back here helping me produce the end of the show. He's keeping me on the up and up right now until we
take some deep breaths, work on your breathing exercises, go out and stretch out a little bit, do some jumping jacks, some push-ups. You just feel get the energy up. You feel much better,
Or just drink and eat a lot of bad food.
You know what? I was trying to be the positive way, man. I was trying to give you that. You know the other options. We self-medicate is the other way. we're all aware of how to self-medicate. Matt, did you see this the other day? It's been going around of people seeing this. Victor Wembanyama making freaking people out again with what he can do. This is a quick clip here, Matt.
Back in the lineup and karate choppers. Wemby's back in the lineup and karate choppers.
Are you kidding me?
Wemby kicking a group of balls in the net. There's four basketballs in the net, so the net's probably 9 feet off the ground. So 9 feet or so off the ground, and Wemby kicks it. And let's keep it in mind, he's on a minutes restriction because of a hyperextended knee, Matt, and he still does this.
He is such a freak of nature.
It's so nuts.
Like, I don't know that there's anybody on earth that can do that.
No, they're like, who's kicked? And someone's kicked like 10 feet away, but it's like guys who train their whole lives to do it, to be able to jump real high and have the, long legs and right height and everything else. It is a ridiculous thing. I'm so glad he's a Spur, and even more glad that he likes being a Spur.
Yeah, really, Luca really liked being a Maverick too.
But he didn't grow up being a Mavs fan. He grew up being a Spurs fan. He wants to be a Spur. So I get it. I don't think the Spurs are as poorly run as the Mavs are. Where until Mark Cuban sold them, they were fine, and then Mark Cuban sold them, and immediately, rich people do rich people things, and Luca gets traded. That general manager did it, is gone now. Luka had a big game last night, played well, but the Spurs still came away with the victory. No LeBron James, no Austin Reeves for the Lakers. So Wemby and the Spurs, even though Wimby's on a minutes restriction, got the win last night. We also heard that Trae Young is traded to the Washington Wizards. Matt, were you aware of this?
Yeah, he deserves that.
He wanted to go there. He pushed for the trade. Basically, they told Atlanta told him, go find a trade for us. So it makes sense for us. And you would think, all right, Trae Young, he's a big name, max level player. Guy like that would get, you know, some good return. They got a contract dump in CJ McCollum, expiring contract, and Cody Kispert. That's what they got.
Yeah. I guess the Mavs really did win the draft day trade after all.
No picks for Trae Young. You got a sharpshooter.
Yeah.
And an expiring contract to get rid of Trae Young. That is nuts. Yes, another trade. There are two trades for the Wizards now. Trae Young and Trae Johnson.
Texas, I hate that for Trae Johnson.
Look, he's going to get open shots.
Not going to get the ball as much as he wants.
No, he's not going to be able to create, but he's a good sharpshooter. That's what they're using him for right now. He'll continue to be a good sharpshooter. But yeah, it's going to be a lot more pass and shoot because you get the ball with 2 seconds on the shot clock.
Just a little bit of a note, by the way, before we exit the show.
Yes.
Ty Haywood, freshman five-star offensive tackle for Michigan from Denton Ryan, Texas, has just entered the NCAA transfer portal.
Okay.
Just something to think about.
All right. We're rooting for the Rebels tonight. Matt, thanks, we're hoping that we have a great show tomorrow and you are enjoying yourself and having a good time. And then we can talk all about the rest of the playoffs. We'll do all that tomorrow. Hopefully more good news in the portal front as well as we go into a Friday edition of Open Gym tomorrow. But until then, be kind, be safe, keep your underwear clean. We'll see you right back here tomorrow for more from Open Gym.
Hotty toddy too.